If an individual, if a human being is in this condition that he has no home, no house, nothing, nowhere to stay, nowhere to live, nowhere to sit, nowhere to sleep, and he has no deposit, no money, no savings, no assets, nothing, no mal, no wealth, nowhere to live, nowhere to stay, no money, no taka, nothing, no currency, zero currency. And alongside that, he has no aql, he has no understanding, no intellect, no wisdom, no brain. So what will be the position of that individual, of that human being? What kind of life will that person live and pass? And what will the quality of life be for that person? And in comparison to that, opposite to that, when he sees other people in the dunya, in the world, he'll see, oh, look at these people, mashallah, they've got a house to live in, they've got big mansions to live in, they've got money and deposits in their banks, bank balances and currency, and they've got understanding and wisdom, and they use their brains to make things and earn things. So what will be the difference between the two? So you'll feel pity on that person, won't you? You'll feel like giving that person some charity, some sadaqat, some thing. So what do we call this person? He's living in the life of, you say, muflisi or poverty, poor person. So this is the example that we have seen in the world, totally like this, same way. Now let's sketch the scene in the akhir. Totally the same situation will play out. There'll be somebody with no home, no money, no asset, and no aql. Totally mad and crazy. In the hereafter, here he passed the time. Here he passed the time. Okay, pass the time. But the qabr will come, the grave will come. And the person says, oh, let's enjoy life. Yeah, do what I want, what I feel like. But think about it. Think about it. But when the person goes to the hereafter and he will have this hal condition, no home, no house, nowhere to sleep, no money, and stupid, foolish person. And he'll have to live like that forever, unlimited, with no limit, no boundary. And he doesn't know when is it going to end. And he's not going to even be able to pass away. And he have to live like this forever. And I'm not saying this. This is a hadith in Ahmad and Bayhaqi. Khatun Awwal, the first great woman with the great status, the Aziz and close wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through whom great Sahabi Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu learned deen. They used to come and ask her hadith. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, great woman, mother of the believers. She is making us aware. Sami'ta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, myself, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. Listen, O Ummah, O nation of the believers, don't be like this person. Yes, because here the poverty, you can pass the days and the nights and the life, but there will be three conditions of people in the hereafter. Three conditions. Me and you, we are going to be there. What will be our hal on that day in the hereafter? No money, no mal. And what will be there, the condition? There, my friends, for example, here in the world, you walk past someone's house, you look at it and you think, oh, that's nice. But there, when you will see people enjoying themselves in paradise and luxuries and comforts, will you be able to withstand the regret? Will you say then, oh, Rasulullah Sallam, I didn't see the hadith, and Rasulullah Sallam would say that my hadith and Ahmad and Bayhaqi, did my beloved Hazrat Aisha, did she not tell you this? Did she not deliver the message? Were you blind, deaf, dumb? Were you drunk? Were you sleeping? Why are you complaining now? This hadith has now come to us today. Has it not come to us today? We're sitting here. Say it loudly. Of course it has. It's come. Then what excuse? Will I listen and run off? Or will you listen and walk away? This is the dalil for the most stupid person in the world. If I say there's a fire outside, there's a fire, there's a fire, and there's noise and clamor, be careful. And then you walk off towards the fire. You'll say, look, he's stupid, he's going to the fire. What will the people of the world say? He's mad. He's crazy. Allahu Akbar, the head of the prophets, the Amir of the prophets, is telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his wife, who is our mother, not some far off distant, the mother of all the believers, who's close to us, who loved us, and she's our mother. And is there anyone more closer than the mother? Who cares more than the mother? And our mother, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, then I say this. And if after hearing this hadith, the person who hears this hadith and doesn't practice on it, then he is the most stupid and foolish person. That's it. It's proven today. So forget about the hereafter. He'll be foolish from today. From today. Isn't this right what I'm saying? So there are three types, categories. Number one, he has no mal. Nowhere to live. No shelter. And this dunya will replicate in the hereafter. We will have the same desires in the hereafter. You see a person who dies, he lies in the grave. Yeah? Like my close friend, alhamdulillah, who used to pray salah with me, who used to make room for me to pray. And today, Yusuf Wadat, he passed away. So, from the depth of my heart, I'm doing du'as for him. That he used to look after me, used to make place for me to pray. And people used to push him left and right. Why are you giving space to this man? He said, no, I'm going to do it. And he kept on doing it. And today he's departed from the world. And now, a bit about his death has pierced my heart. The feeling, the emotion, he wasn't my relative, he wasn't my uncle, he wasn't my mamu, he wasn't my khalu, he wasn't my blood relative. But he had some feeling and emotion for me. When I used to come to the masjid, he used to make space for me in the first saf, and he used to save the space for me in Masjid al-Rahman. And people used to be displeased with him. They used to push him and elbow him, say, why are you making space? He said, no, I'm going to make space for Hazrat. For many years he did this. And today the time has come, he has parted. He is gone and I'm sitting and I'll do dua for him. Today I will remember him in this dhikr, in this majlis, great gathering, in such a great gathering, where the angels are swaying around us and all the angels will pray for him as well, because we've mentioned him. Because did he give me money? Did he give me wealth or assets or land? Sometimes there's a connection between hearts and that's good enough. Learn how to love people. Learn how to love people. And this is the point here. So what will happen? That if you love somebody and you make space for that person, and Allah Ta'ala gives you love for that person, ihtiram and respect, this is a beautiful asset. This is deen. We pray salah, and when the time comes, we kick people away. Oh, this is my place. Get away from me. I was here first. Oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. This is not deen of Islam. Earn the thawab. Share with people. Give to people. When you're earning thawab, the rewards, by having consideration for others, you're not in loss. Who's the person's taken your item, but you'll get more. If you say, okay brother, you give Azan today. Okay brother, you give that speech today. People, it's hard for people to sacrifice their position in this. He says, this much thawab, I want you to give Adhan or do this action. But the person of wisdom, he says, that after giving him the thawab, I get double the reward. Double the reward, because the love will come into his heart and I'll get the same reward. So this is deen, this is a snippet of deen, this is the ruh of the deen, this is the spirit of the deen, this is the pivot of the deen. We have to reach here, we have to clean ourselves so much, our hearts, with the dhikr of Allah. That's why we do dhikr, to clean the heart. So we have emotion, consideration, regard for this, so that we develop this condition within us and then we'll enjoy Islam. Not by just ibadah and words, no. So three things, time is short, so I'll be quick. Yeah, otherwise dhikr will be left out. Three things remember now. Yes, I'll say it again to repeat, that this hadith has come in front of me today that I'm presenting to you is a ready-made, fresh message for me and for you. For me and for you. May Allah not allow this to happen, that we depart from the world without this benefit. Otherwise, my friends, time will pass so quickly. Otherwise, Rasulullah ﷺ would not have told us this hadith. He was Bashir and Nadir. He came to tell us everything that will happen there. And he told us that if people will go to hellfire due to this action, then if we do that action, we'll definitely go to Jannah. If Rasulullah said, you do this action, you'll get paradise, we'll definitely get paradise. Whatever Rasulullah said, that those words spread around the globe until the Day of Judgment, and recorded in Bukhari and Malik and Muslim, and people are reading, learning, reading in madrasas. People are reading, studying the hadith, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen, brothers, my friends. So we have to save ourselves from the calamity in the future. When we leave this world, we should be rich. Our mansions should be waiting for us. The river should be flowing beneath our homes. Allahu Akbar, our gardens, our trees, our birds should be singing and flying, and our servants should be waiting for us. And there should be decoration and gold and silver decorations, and our wives and our hoods should be waiting for us. Isn't it? The Quran we read. If you don't have yaqeen, then why are you reading Quran? If you don't believe this is not your target in life, then you have ambition, that when you want to go to thereafter, you want people to kick you into the darkness? Is this what you are targeting? What kind of life is that? What's better? The luxuries and paradise, or do you want to be kicked into darkness? So, Rasulullah said, don't be poor in the hereafter. Don't be poor. Be the owner, the landowner in the hereafter. Rasulullah is telling us this. You are from my ummah. I'm telling you this. Prepare. There'll be homes. You need to have them in the hereafter. Don't leave this world empty-handed. Don't. Leave with the luxuries of the hereafter ready. Yes? So Rasulullah used to love us. He had pain for us. He said, leave this world with the mal of the hereafter. Don't be poor on the day of judgment. Don't be poor. Don't be living the life of poverty. You have to be rich and wealthy in the hereafter. And secondly, be the man of wisdom and understanding and intellect. There, ulul albab. There will be many levels and ranks and grades of those who have the wisdom and understanding and brains. They use their brains. Don't be a person who gets up mad and crazy and foolish. Oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may our parents be assigned to you. How can we attain this? How do we get this, that you, what you are telling us? So then Rasulullah gave the point, the solution. Now we have to listen to the solution. And after listening to the solution, then we have to allow it to drop into the heart and practice. Will we practice? Inshallah, promise. It's for you the benefit, not for me. So make niyyah today, brothers. Make niyyah. Say inshallah. Otherwise you'll be mad and poor and a waste on the day of judgment. Yeah? So understand, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha states that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now I'm giving you this hadith, the meaning of this hadith. That Hazrat Aisha said that there, on the hereafter, who will be the people who will have nothing? No house, no home, no roof. They'll have nothing. They'll be wandering around pocketless. Who are those people? And Rasulullah said, those people, and we should not be those people. Rasulullah said, those people in this world who accrued the wealth, who amassed the wealth, and thought this dunya was the place of rich and wealth. Those people who constructed mansions in this world. Those people who spend their lives running after detached houses. Those who people run after who spend their life running after big cars. Big cars. Because we are all poor people, aren't we, anyway? We're not those people, are we? We're muflis. We don't have nothing. But those people who will have everything here, who will run after, strive to earn every single penny here, they won't have anything in the hereafter. Because they will lose the opportunity to earn for the hereafter because of running around like a headless chicken here. So look at their hal in the hereafter. Those people who spend their life earning lands and mansions and palaces. How long is this life? Just a few moments, brothers. You don't even know. You know when the eye blinks, will the eye come up after the blink? This is how long life is. Ramadan is gone. When like that, weeks have passed. Oh, long fast. Where's the fasting month gone now? Do you remember it? Do you feel it? Brothers, stop in front of the mirror and look at, count how many white hairs you've got. You're so old. And look at your old pictures. Look at the old picture. Oh, look at me. I was young. I was jawan when I sent my photo to propose to my wife. I was so handsome and young. But think now, you got white hairs, times past, crinkles, wrinkles in your skin. Think about the life. It's not forever, brothers. But what happens? As long as a person doesn't go in front of the mirror, then he keeps thinking, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm the same man I was 20 years ago. And he tries to earn, and he gets pain in the knees, or in the ankles, or at the back. He says, I don't know why it's pain. You know, I'm still the same. But brothers, you have to understand, your age is increasing. Why are you trying to do what you should have done 30 years ago now? You're becoming old. Understand this. Accept it. So, the person who strives so much in the world to follow his nafs. Aha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a great hadith. Was there anyone more intellectual than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the universe? How he explained to us that the person who spends his whole life here. This is the commentary of this hadith. Making the house and the lands and the assets and the factories and the bank balances. I ask for forgiveness. How many people of factories are sitting here? We're factories. How many people who've got big houses are sitting here? How many people who've got shops running? How many of them are sitting here? Very few are sitting in the dhikr of Allah this time. No. The accountant's coming tonight. I've got to give him the balance sheet. And by chance, if he comes, he won't be here. He'll be somewhere else. Isn't it? The people who pray salah, they don't come to salah. They're in their business, running their business at the salah time by habit, or maybe by the bleak and the efforts of people. They'll drag him here, alhamdulillah, to the masjid. They will have strived and worked hard on that person. He will have come. But what happens after that? Their hearts are in the office. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want your body. I want your heart to be in the gathering. Allah Ta'ala says, I want your heart to be in the deed. So you drag them. As-salamu alaykum, brother. Wa-salam. Oh, he's going to come again tomorrow. Knock on my door. Come to the masjid. Okay, Allah, let's go to the masjid. Just brothers come. So somehow we drag them down. Alhamdulillah, this is a great thing. We've shown them the masjid. They've reached here. But they don't want to stop here. They don't want to stay here. We want to give the presence of not just the body, but the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you come to the house of Allah, then present your heart. No shop, no business, no money, no wife, no children. Just Allahu Akbar, raise the hands and shun the world behind the hands. How long for? Not long. 10 minutes. Mawlana Sahib took 10 minutes to read Salah. So in 10 minutes, leave everything during Salah time. But so much wretchedness in life in 10 minutes, while we're standing in the prayer, we've got to do everything. Shopping, what's the list? I've got to go after this. My wife said do this. Oh, she was rude to me today. She spoke badly to my mum. I'm going to go back and tell her off. I've got to go home. I've got to do this. During prayer, all of this, my children, my parents, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And the angel says, Subhanallah, what a Salah. You're doing the same thing in namaz that you do in the dunya. Same thing. What's the difference? So where's the palace of that person? Where's what has Salah given to that person? What has he earned for thereafter? Has he earned anything? Nothing, my friends, nothing. Zero. So this is what Rasulullah ﷺ came to teach us, that the person who stays occupied extremely in this world to make the assets of the world, he doesn't get a chance to earn for the hereafter. He doesn't get a chance to make the palace in paradise or the mansion in paradise. He's running his life like a headless chicken. So he wants to go to meetings, people come to meet him. To go to Wali of Allah, it's all for the sake of dunya. That's his maqsad. Even when he goes to a gathering of pious people, his objective is dunya. He doesn't think, I'm going to the majlis to get dunya to the heart. When you go to the masjid, you have to lock your heart from the dunya. Seal it from the dunya. You have to practice this. Practice. When I go to the masjid, when you take your shoes off in the shoe area, then dust off the dunya from your body. When you do wudu, what is wudu? Wudu, when you wash your hands, get the dunya off your hands. That money. You're washing your hands of the dunya. Dunya is coming off the hands. The dunya is dripping with the water drops. When you do, then when you wash your face, and you do masa of the head, and you're wiping the neck, and you're washing your feet, is there any place left in the body? Just the qamiz and your stomach. We don't do masa on the stomach, but we wash our limbs of our body. Why? To get the dirt of the dunya off the body. So you're ready to meet your Lord. Because when you clean your body, I'm going to meet my Lord. Only Allah is there. So you're dusting yourself down the 10 minutes Salah during Salah time. I'm not going to think about dunya unless, except for the Akhirah and the Quran. Whatever's real in the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ibrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. I'm going to think about these verses, the meaning, the translation. I swear by Allah, pray this Salah. When you come out of the masjid, even then you won't remember dunya. Aha. Tawakkul Allah, trust of Allah will be penetrating your heart. Mountains of tawakkul will come in front of you. You will trust Allah. You will rely on Allah. Because Allah doesn't send a man like this empty-handed from the masjid. Allah will fill your heart. He'll make you ghani. Rich and wealthy and totally independent from the world. Thousands of problems and fikrs and sorrows and worries will go. You won't be worried, is death coming or not? You'll say, oh, it's okay, let it come, I'm ready. And after such a salah of khushu and humbleness, the person will succeed. So Rasulullah said, how can the man who's running after dunya earn for the hereafter? He won't. So the first point is what? Brothers, detach yourself from the world. Don't be desperate for dunya, brothers. Don't be desperate. So the next hadith tells us the solution. Number two, I won't stretch on too long because time's passing. So the next thing, what did I explain to you? Mal, wealth. It's obvious. It's obvious that the person who's running after stacking the notes upon the notes, then his maqsad is notes. He's got a machine. 24 hours you can put the stack. I see people, they've got money. 2 a.m. I saw him. He's putting the card in the card machine. There's no shop open at the time. He said, let me go 2 a.m. How much is my balance today? The check, has it cleared? He's going to the ATM 2 a.m. in the morning to check his balance. Today a truck's got to come in the morning. The warehouse, the goods, the supply, the delivery. He's got no regard for the akhirah. And such a shortcut we make nowadays. The masjid in front. Okay, let's make a masjid here next to the workplace. We'll give adhan here. So we make a musalla in the workplace and we destroying our salah and we don't let other people go to the masjid. Astaghfirullah. What's the reason? The dunya is going. The dunya, and in the car, we are following the dunya and the salah. We are reading other places, not masjid. Allah says, look here, you got a factory, you got masjids just down the road, but you say, no, let's make a musalla prayer room in the factory. Let's all pray here, employees pray here, otherwise we'll waste time, we're going to lose profit. Is that salah accepted? I'm not a mufti. But this is aqal. How can that salah be accepted? The masjid is around the corner. We say, we're Naqshbandi, I'm a Qadri, I'm Surwardi, I'm a Dhakir, I'm Tabliki, I'm a Wali, Astaghfirullah, servant of Allah. If your salah is not accepted, how is your deen going to be accepted? How is your dhikr going to be accepted? How is your muamalat, your daily actions going to be accepted? The Allah Ta'ala says, you've detached yourself from the masjid for the love of the dunya, because you want to spend 4 more minutes in the office and you leave the masjid. Is there any salah accepted not in jama'ah in the masjid? Every day you read for dhaili amal. And this is the deception of the dunya. That will he have a palace in the hereafter? No palace, because you're running after the palace in this world and you leave your salah in the masjid. 25, 30 brothers who would go to the masjid, you've told them not to go and you've told them to pray in the office, in the factory. You are jahil and you've made them jahil as well. They've drowned into this as well. So we don't go to pray Salah in the masjid. I will see how a person, his rizq goes. This is the experience of my life. I went to pray Salah in the masjid. I used to stand in the middle of the dunya in the biggest market in the north. I used to pray Salah in the masjid, and I used to lead the other people in prayer. And my shop was there. He said, what about your shop? Who's going to run it? I said, Allah, whoever wants to steal, let them. People used to call me mad, but the person out of all of them, the one who had the brain intellect, was me. Because I wanted to earn the palace of Jannah. We have to understand, where is loss, where is profit? How poor am I today? Tell me. How poor am I today? Am I poor? I don't have to give anyone, nor do I owe anyone, no debt, nothing. I eat my food. I just had chicken tonight, alhamdulillah. I had chicken, I had halwa before I came. I enjoyed myself. And I will eat halwa when I go back. I'm not poor. Allah's ni'mah. Does Allah Ta'ala allow a person who prays Salah and remember Allah fall dead with poverty and hunger? No way. So brothers, the person who runs after stacks of wealth, the question doesn't arise that his Salah will be correct. So he will die in the depths of his maal, his wealth. So Rasulullah said, the person who runs after maal, he will have no maal in the after. The person who runs after assets and property in this world will have no property in the after. Because his property building in this world won't let him build in thereafter. And the third thing, first was property and assets, number two was maal, and the third was that he won't have aql. So now the points I've told you, can a person who has aql, can we see him? The person who leaves Salah for the world, who leaves the masjid for the dunya, who leaves everything. Do you understand? Can he be a person of aql and intellect? Rasulullah has told us that there's no more foolish and stupid person in this world and the hereafter than that person who runs after assets and property and mal, and he compromises his akhirah due to this dunya. He's the most foolish and stupid person. So Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the solution? Is there had for this? Yes, everything that I'm telling you, Rasulullah said, how long will this last? You should do everything in the world according to the needs. So obviously I have to eat food, I have to pay the bills, I have to pay the phone bill, I have to get a car to drive, I need a car to take me from A to B, and I need a phone nowadays, it's important, isn't it? And electricity is a requirement in the world. But according to this day and age, we need them. When these things weren't there, they had oil lanterns, no phones, no cars. When this day and age, okay, we want a house, nice and clean, there's water there, electricity, food to eat, that's what we need. So the government in this country, look what they've done, look at their style. Look at their framework. You know, people get social security, unemployment benefit, that they made such a deal that they give enough to a person. The check, the DSS check comes to people and it's just enough for them to survive. Because other people, they don't claim because they're not satisfied. They don't want the check because they want more money. But the government, when they give benefit, a family can live with ease. That's the status they give. They know, they calculate how much is needed to live. Food, bills, rent, etc. So, I'm telling you from Akala, they will give you as enough that you can live in a house, three children can eat according to the need. But they won't give more. But we're not satisfied, so what do we do? Then I won't go into that detail because that's not correct, then haram comes. Anyway, so our requirement is this much. So that's what we should strive to earn. I should have food 2-3 times a day. I can pay the bills, my children, I can feed them, and have a car. Now a car that drives, not, oh, I want a car that flies and people will look at and envy. Just need the car that drives. And when you have a person like this, then there are cars that drive without petrol. I tell you the truth, he has taqwa. He has tawakkal without even refilling, without putting the fuel in the car, goes because Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. Allah, leave it to Allah, assign your life to Allah, Allah will allow your dunya to run. We don't need a big square car that costs so much. So within this requirement, if you got halal earnings and your palace is being constructed in the hereafter and you got no love for the wealth and the assets of this world, then Rasulullah said clearly to us that if you're standing at a shop and the money's coming and you're earning, then what will you do? Allah Ta'ala is sending you the wealth and the profit, then don't run around trying to get more. You stand 8 hours in the shop and you're praying Salah in Jama'ah and the ni'mas are coming to your life through that shop, then what do you do? What mistake do we make? Don't keep that wealth and start distributing it to this masjid, sadaqah, poor person, and earn more gardens of paradise. And if you think, don't think, oh, this wealth's come to me, then you start saving, oh, halal's come, I've got to get more with this money. Don't drown into this deception. Don't save the money. When you get money, wealth, you say, Allah, you're giving me this money, so I want to become higher in the akhirah. Allah, you're giving me this more money, wealth, because you want me to be rich in the hereafter. Then start distributing it to the poor people. Spend on the masjids, on the madrasa. No one from your company should leave empty-handed, and keep giving to the people. Keep giving to the people. This is, brothers, a beautiful hadith that I read in passing. So may Allah give us the tawfiq. What do we have to do? Summary. What is the solution? That take the dunya out of the heart and bring the akhirah into the heart. And this is the root. And this is what is Sufism. You've come to do dhikr. What is the foundation? Why do we do dhikr? Why? I ask you. Why do we work out on dhikr? The reason, the foundation is what? So that the love of the dunya can come out of heart. I'll tell you a sahih hadith and conclude today. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that all of the sins, what is the root of all sins? The love of dunya. The love of dunya. So it's not hard. This is a temporary love, because dunya is temporary, so it's a temporary love. So for example, if a man, he is attracted to a woman, we see people giving their lives, they'll hang on the noose because of the attraction for a female. He'll hang, no, I want to get married there. I want to get married there. I'll give my life. I'll commit suicide. I'll take tranquilizers. I'll take overdose. And the girl's take an overdose. And you hear these stories in the world. But it's temporary love. But when that person becomes 40, 50 years old and she's losing teeth and her ears get blocked and wrinkles on the face, then all the love goes. He goes, oh look, there's that person you liked. She says, oh, that girl, no, what are you talking rubbish? Oh, I've got 4 children, my wife's with me and she's going to tell me off. And what happens? That was temporary love and attraction. Look at that person, he was given his life 40 years ago. But as age passes, maturity comes, this is called temporary love. So this love of the dunya is in our heart. We know we're mad running around, money, attraction, oh look at that, truck, wealth and supplies and goods. This is temporary love. When the air comes out of the body, when the wind comes out, we say, oh Allah, it was temporary. Temporary love, there's no desire in my heart. So what we realize, that the temporary love can be diminished and eliminated. It's not permanent. What do we need to do? We just need to make a bit of effort. Make a bit of effort. From today, make niyyah intention, Allah, this is my target. This is my target. This is my target of life. Whatever happens, man, woman, brother, sister, listen to my message, wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are, don't step back. Allah, today I make the target. I'm going to do dhikr, my struggle and my striving. Why am I doing all this? That Allah, I want to take the love of the dunya out of my heart. That's it. Inshallah, the love of the dunya will come out. When it comes out, then you won't have no care for dunya. How much, how many stacks? You'll have one regard, one fikr for the akhirah, for the hereafter. I need to earn for the hereafter. My brothers, that's why we do dhikr. We don't come into amwalis of Allah to waste time, to get dreams, to get karamat, or to float, or to have visions. No, one fikr. One worry. Allah, I want to clean my heart, become a good person. Kullu shayin sakinatan sakinatul qalbi dhikrillah. What great, great advice is Rasulullah given, that the love of the dunya, the greatest cleaning agent. There's nothing that can clean the heart or eliminate the dunya love from the heart. What can clean it? Dhikr Allah. And shaitan makes us run away from dhikr. He whispers to us, oh, run away dhikr. No, not important, not necessary, waste of time. Why are you doing it? So force yourself to sit down in dhikr. Force yourself to sit down. Force yourself, morning, evening, this many minutes, I have to do this 100 beads or 100 tasbih, I have to do it in my heart, and this is the biggest cure. If we don't take this cure, then no sick person will be cured. And as I said in the beginning, whatever Rasulullah has stated is a fact, and that's how the person will rise up. The person who didn't work on his heart, and didn't take the love of dunya out of his heart, then 3 types of people will wake up in the hereafter as poor, and the salah he left, that same salah will not assist him. And I told you about the feelings and emotions of salah. The person who has dunya in his heart in salah, they'll have dunya salah, dunya hajj, dunya umrah, dunya talawat Quran, dunya Ramadan, dunya fasting. And there's no value in the hereafter of those deeds. And I've told you the ruh, the spirit of our ibadat today. So if we can take the love of dunya out of our heart, and then the love of Allah comes into the heart, then one salah will be enough for you to give you success in the hereafter. Even that will be enough for us. One hajj will show us the rank and the status. But that hajj in which there's love of dunya, that will not be accepted. How? Allah Ta'ala says that strive. Make effort. If you're not successful in your effort, Allah says, even then, sa'i mashkura. Because you tried hard. You tried hard. So Allah says, send him into paradise. But if you don't try hard, you waste time, you're lazy. So what's the trying hard? How to take the love of the dunya out of the heart? What is the struggling and the effort? Speak loudly. Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. So after today, my brothers, finish all the niyas. Make good niyah positive. Everything thawab reward is after. That Allah says, correct your heart, clean your heart morning and evening. I'm like a doctor, I'm prescribing, giving the prescription now. Morning, evening, sit down with the tasbih. First thing in the day, your first ibadah, your first act of the day, not tilawat, not Quran, not nafal. First ibadah of the day should be dhikr Allah. So your heart is clean, then pray salah, tahajjud, tilawat of Quran. And the best way is to go to wali of Allah, the teacher, learn from him. Tell me tarteeb shaykh, what dhikr shall I do, how much, how will it affect my heart. Allah Ta'ala has given us this ilm. This is a branch of the deen for which we go to get a fatwa. From who? We want to get a fatwa about a masal, about a question. You'll go to who? Doctor? GP? Or Dr. Pasha? Who will you go to? The GP? You'll go to the Mufti to find out about the masal, because he's done a course. You get the answer, the knowledge. Mufti sahab, what's the answer to this question? Oh, I've got this issue, dilemma. Doesn't matter how many degrees I've got in the world. Science, technology, chemistry, MA, MPhil, doctor, psychologist. But where will I go? To the Mufti, to the alim, to learn ilm of deen. So now when it comes to cleaning the heart, tazkiyah, tafsiyah, ruh, spiritual diseases, get rid of lying and ghibat and backbiting, do we go to then? The mufti of the spirituality, the wali Allah. And to explain this, Allah Ta'ala selected two things. Two things that these people don't have aqal, they don't understand, they don't know how to clean the heart. Two things. First, the Nabi of his time, Rasulullah, who? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And secondly, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. Both of them Allah Ta'ala selected. And Allah Ta'ala revealed, where? When we read Surah Kahf on Jummah. Is this not the story? So Allah Ta'ala mentioned that story about ilm, ilm al-ludni. In Islam is called ilm al-ludni. This knowledge, what is this ilm? The knowledge of the internal, the batini knowledge, the cleaning of the heart. So Allah Ta'ala took a Nabi, Sahabi Sharia. He had a Sharia. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, who was his sheikh? And he had a sheikh, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, who was elevated to that status. Imagine that, okay, you are the Nabi, you have the Sharia, but you will have to go to the Wali Allah to earn this ilm of the heart, of the batin. You have to decrease yourself, you have to lower yourself, humble yourself. So when an alim is told like this, and the Nabi who has the Sharia, he says, Allah, fine. And he went to Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, he said, I will take what you give to me. Is this not the Quran? So when a person goes to learn knowledge, go to that person according to the knowledge you want, and then have the niyyah and learn that ilm, that knowledge. So this ilm, we have to learn the ilm of the batin, the heart, the spiritual ilm, the master. Hazrat, I need to clean my heart, I need to clean my batin. Please explain to me, advise, how do I polish my heart? So there's a class then of that ilm, of that knowledge. So you can learn the hadith and the Quran in the other class. But how to purify the heart? I'm a talib of tabliq. I'm a student of tabliq. Alhamdulillah, do this. It will be benefit for you. But when you wash yourself and clean your heart and then you give da'wah, people will come to you quickly. Your da'wah will have success. And nur, there'll be no restriction, because that's a separate thing. So zahir is one thing and batin is one thing. So Allah Ta'ala says, first step, seek the shaykh, the wali of Allah, learn the tarteeb of how to do dhikr, take the barakah. After that, bring that as a habit into your life. And a person who doesn't try this, then the hadith is present that I've told you, without effort we will earn nothing. May Allah give me tawfiq so I can make effort and I can work hard, and you brothers also do dhikr and make effort on dhikr. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.